Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Con Engeland. Born in London, Con Engeland studied English at London University and worked as a teacher for 7 years before becoming a full-time writer. He is the author of the best-selling Emperor series and the Conqueror series, and is the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dangerous Book for Boys. Con has co-written, with his brother David, The Dangerous Book of Heroes, a treasure chest of saints, rogues, and champions of causes, great and small, which is filled with names you'll surely recognize, such as George Washington, Martin Luther King Jr., and Sir Henry Morgan, and Edith Cavell, whose roles in history are no less significant or exciting. From Helen Keller and Scott of the Antarctic to Sitting Bull and the passengers of Flight 93, The Dangerous Book is dedicated to those who drove headfirst into battle, those who made amazing discoveries, and those who moved boundaries in their lifetime. We're going inside the pages of The Dangerous Book of Heroes, published by William Morrow. Con, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
How blessed we are to have Dangerous Book of Heroes.
Yes. I mean, it's been a joy to write that one. I did it with my older brother, David, who was in the Merchant Navy for about 30 years and also went on the Footsteps of Scott expedition to the Antarctic. So, he was the obvious person to do it with. He was very good on the Navy characters and, of course, had a love of history. So I've been somewhat blessed to have members of my family with that kind of expertise.
Have you been surprised by the success of the books?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think people love good stories. I mean, I've sort of made a career on writing stories from history. And I think the fact that they're based on truth always has a certain kind of power that fiction, pure fiction, can only struggle to match. I mean, if you know how Nelson died on the deck of the Victory, or if you know, I don't know, how Scott of the Antarctic, well, actually it died. I mean, I'm picking deaths for some reason, but the fact that they were real people who suffered extraordinarily and triumphed occasionally, I think it gives it an access to a sort of power, which is marvelous. It's good for me.
Every one of the stories in The Dangerous Book of Heroes is so compelling, whether it's the Helen Keller story or the story of Horatio Nelson, as you just pointed out. I mean, so many different people, but there's something about them that made them rise to such extraordinary levels. Have you been able to figure out what that is?
It's not an easy thing to put your finger on. It is something that fascinates me, because obviously we all have roughly the same amount of time in the world, and some people achieve extraordinary things, or overcome, in the case of Helen Keller that you mentioned, overcome extraordinary handicaps. I write them and enjoy them, I think, because they are inspiring. It isn't always possible to live a life like Nelson. I think I said that in the afterword, or for that matter, Douglas Bader or some of the others. But I think when you get weighed down by the tedious details of life, paying the mortgage and the bills and getting the kids on time to school and all the rest of it, I think it inspires to read stories about people who've been through far worse things and often come out the other side.
They really are great stories.
Yes.
What I find is that as an adult, I'm engaged in them. Even the way the format is, I realize that potentially this is written for maybe a younger audience, but what is it that it appeals so much to the older generations?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think the stories are sort of universal. I mean, regardless of, where the person is born or where they ended up. But, we wrote them. Partly we were thinking of an older audience than the Dangerous Book for Boys, people had grown up a little bit, but also because some of the stories have been forgotten and they're good stories. I think that's what we looked for first of all, that it would make an interesting tale, an extraordinary life. I hope very much that they do appeal to people. These are the stories that appeal to me.
You write, of course, as a father who is trying to offer works for your own children, but what else? I mean, what are some of the things that surprised you in doing the research for these, both books?
I mean, I do write with my children in mind to some extent, although my son is still 9. He may be a little bit young for the Dangerous Book of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
With the original Dangerous Book, he was very much the sort of audience, because there didn't seem to be too many books out there, you know, for his age group at that time. There are now. I mean, there have been quite a few written since, and luckily some for girls as well, because I also have 2 daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them asked me, you know, when are you going to write the book for us? And realistically, that wasn't possible. I grew up without sisters, and you know, sometimes it's hard for me to see exactly what a girl wants to do. Whereas the boy stuff was kind of obvious, because it was pretty much everything we'd done, bows and arrows, and you know, that sort of thing, and marbles and catapults. I mean, I didn't think it would sell. I mean, I didn't think it would anyone else would be interested in it. This was a sort of Eagledon family, you know, history of events and things like that, and with the stories for the Heroes book, you know, these are the people who impressed and inspired us. I've never really set out to write something that would be popular. I'm not even sure how you do that. It just, once or twice, I've been lucky enough to find a book that is popular, because it seems there are people out there who care about the same things as I do, and that's always a nice thing to know.
It really is. I I'm so moved by each of the stories, but also as you, as a father, wanting to pass these on to your children and then eventually to the world's children and to all of us, it is that image of the hero that we seem to have lost in many ways. I think that's why people are running and flocking to pick up the book, because we just are not telling them anymore.
Yes. I mean, well, I'm afraid there is an element of truth in that, and it goes across the world. I don't even know the reason why. I mean, my mother was a history teacher, and she grew up, or I grew up, with her telling me stories from history that were fascinating. But her point was always that we haven't evolved in the last couple of thousand years. We're still, these people are exactly like us, but history is filled with the stories of their lives, and particularly the climaxes of their lives, and the sometimes tragic endings. And it almost is guaranteed to make a good tale, a gripping tale. And really, the plan for the Heroes book was to get as many of those in as we possibly could, partly because, you know, they weren't known anymore. I mean, Douglas Bader was the man with who lost his legs in a plane crash and had metal legs, and yeah, ended up in Colditz Castle, kept the morale up of all the other men. I, you know, wanted to do his story partly because when I originally mentioned it in a publishing office, someone said, sorry, Douglas Bader, who's he? And I said, oh, you know, he's the man with no legs. And they thought I was making some sort of off-color joke.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God knows what they thought, but they'd never heard of him. Whereas, you know, my father was in Bomber Command, and I grew up with stories like that. And, yeah, it's a terrible shame when all this sort of golden vein of good material is being just ignored sometimes. Because, you know, it goes to create a culture, a history. It binds us together across the Anglosphere, if you like. You know, these are our ancestors. Their example makes our lives, I think, a little easier to live.
Well, whether it's the stories that we're not aware of the life of Winston Churchill, those young days when he was fighting was it the Crimea?
The Boer War, I think.
That's
it. My God, what a life he had. I mean, mm-hmm. Everyone knows the end. It's like Julius Caesar. They tend to know the end of the story, but not so much the beginning. I mean, what an incredible, you know, life he had when he was out as a journalist. He wasn't even meant to be anywhere near warfare. But, you know, getting captured by the Dutch Boers and escaping from their prison camp at night with just a few bars of chocolate in his pocket, eventually getting on a train and standing up, and I probably won't repeat what he said aloud because I'm not sure about the radio standards, but, you know, he was very pleased to get out. These are, these are good moments, and I think, you know, we can all, with any luck, we can all enjoy a few of them.
And some of the stories didn't have that type of ending. I mean, I'm thinking of Edith Cavell.
Yes, well, again, her bravery was impressive. I mean, she wrote she was in many ways a very stern woman, you know, without humour. She is a sort of old classic matron, if you like, with the other nurses, and she saved an awful lot of people who came through during World War One, and she saved a lot of Allied soldiers, and knowing that her life was at risk, she was eventually picked up by a traitor, and she was sentenced to firing squad. And she wrote a letter to the nurses saying that she hoped they realized that she loved them more than they would ever know.
Mm.
And, you know, her courage at that moment is inspiring. It's extraordinary. And it's for moments like that that I have always enjoyed stories from history. I think, you know, by the very nature of it, you're always dealing with endings and tragedies and betrayals, but it's often inspiring, often moving, very moving in her case.
And now for an Inside the Pages excerpt from The Dangerous Book of Heroes.
Heroes. When someone rows across the Atlantic, conquers Everest, or runs 7 marathons in 7 days, he is admired across the world. Our lives are gladdened by the achievement, and we feel that person has done something great. Such people are heroes because they inspire the rest of us, even if it's just for a moment. Yet, there is a second definition of hero, one who accomplishes something noble, risking it all in the process. Horatio Nelson may be the best example, as he lost his life defending against a tyranny that would have overrun the world. Most people can see the difference between Nelson and a baseball team winning the World Series. At no point do those definitions suggest that a hero must be likable. The heroism is in the life, in the achievement across just a short span of years, not in the men or women themselves and whether they were a good friend, father, or mother. Good men sometimes do bad things, and it's even possible that many great achievements come about because an individual is attempting to atone for some sin, real or imagined, in the past. When the word is overused, it does reduce its impact, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. We cannot all stand against tyranny, though perhaps more of us should when we encounter its cold hands on a daily basis. Yet, if a man is described as a hero for saving a child on a frozen lake, most of us can see that we could be that man. It is heroism within the boundaries of possibility. Being aware that courage is still admired is not a danger to society, far from it. A have-a-go hero is a popular phrase for one who risks life and limb to stop a mugging or burglary, or even to have a word with a few kids causing trouble. It is an obvious truth to say there may be risk involved in such an action, but if every good man or woman turned away with eyes downcast, well, that would soon scorn the memories of Edith Cavell, Robert Scott, and Helen Keller, who would have waded in, eyesight or not. However we abuse the word, heroism will never be common or easy. The peculiar truth about humanity is that we deal with fear on a daily basis and that it often conquers us. That does not matter as long as we recognize that there are times when we must not step off the curb to let someone pass or something terrible happen. It is true that only a coward can be brave, as a man who feels no fear has conquered nothing. It is also true that when one person speaks up to stop some wrong, others often join in, desperately relieved that at last someone said something. It is not easy to be the one to speak up or step in. If it was, we would not value and admire those who do. One final truth remains beyond the petty irritations of life in which we lose ourselves. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. The men and women in this book were sometimes possessed of incredible self-confidence and personal belief. Others doubted their every action to the point where they could hardly act at all. For some, their heroism is contained in a single moment, while others seem to have lived a life that stands out like a thread of gold. It may not be possible to live like Nelson, but we can be inspired by his life and others like it. We can know that in our history it is the blood of greatness, and in our culture, for all its flaws and dark misdeeds, there can also be light.
You've been listening to an excerpt from The Dangerous Book of Heroes. We now return to our discussion with Con Egeland.
You bring us the stories of those times, whether it's World War I or the Boer War or many of other things, but also of things that are in our present memories so vividly, and as you chronicled in the story of Flight 93.
Yes, I mean, that was... In many ways, that was one of the most touching for me, because, I mean, anyone who's ever been on a plane could imagine being in that situation. It was an important one because I desperately didn't want to finish the book with the idea that these people were in some way supermen or superwomen, and that, you know, ordinary men and women couldn't emulate them. Because, you know, for me, the message has always been that they're actually quite ordinary, but they're put in extraordinary situations. And the fact that those passengers I think it was they had about 28 minutes to from the time they got the news to the time they organized and attacked the pilot's cabin. It is inspiring, and it's just about the only inspiring moment on a very dark day. So I was pleased and touched to be able to put that in.
What's been the reaction of children? And I don't necessarily mean the smaller ones, but of course of those who have been engaged by the book and have contacted you.
Well, I've had some very nice emails. I mean, when we first started it, we wanted to put in about 80 names, and then we realized that just wasn't possible, that we'd have to, we'd only end up doing a tiny biographical sketch of each person. So we got it down to a list, I think, of about 40, and that enabled us to do short chapters of, I think, about 3,000 words each, which doesn't sound that short, but it is. And I think, although I didn't plan it like this, it sort of works with teenagers and some fairly young people who want to just dip into a book, who don't want to read an entire book all the way through, but just want to pick it up, read a chapter, know that they've learned something interesting and they've heard of a character they haven't heard of before, and then put the thing down and pick it up another time. I mean, that's worked, seems to have worked fairly well. That wasn't exactly the plan, but the plan was just to get in as many as we could, but I think the length of the chapters means that people can dip in and learn something and enjoy it.
Yeah, I love how you've presented other stories to the other side of the story. That sometimes Hollywood has glamorized. I'm thinking, of course, of the story of the Bounty. And we've seen the dramatic, whether it's the Mel Gibson or the Clark Gable version of it. But then, really, the William Bly story on that boat after he was put out, that was a heroic moment. That's an extraordinarily heroic attempt.
Absolutely. And, it was the greatest open boat voyage of all time. That was what my brother, David, wrote, because he's had so much experience with the Navy and boats of all his life. But yes, it was nice to be able to right a wrong in that way, because William Bly, it's almost a romantic version that he was this terrible tyrant, whereas in fact he did his absolute best to look out for his men and keep them alive and save them from themselves in Tahiti and so on, and he's been absolutely rubbished by history. So it was a pleasure to be able to write a more accurate version based on the journals and documents of the time.
And to also, in just other characters as well on the North American continent, and I'm thinking of the whole story of Sitting Bull.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, in many ways, he, of course, is always a tragic story. There's going to be an element of tragedy in a lot of these things because, they're all dead. You're dealing with historical people who've lived 100 years ago. But, he was a very brave man. And I think, if I've tried to recognize some quality that we pass on from story to story, generation to generation, it's that we revere and value courage. And that's, oddly enough, along with the fact that heroes aren't taught that often, we don't do that much anymore. We don't seem to say, this is something that we believe is important. You should be brave. You should be, brave even at terrible risk to yourself. I do sometimes think we become so risk-averse that we're afraid to ever say that. But in fact, without courage, then, God, life wouldn't be worth living.
Well, we're talking with Con Ugledon, the author of the book, along with his brother David, of The Dangerous Book of Heroes. They are also the wonderful authors of the Dangerous Book for Boys. And what I've found in both those books is putting them on our coffee table. And when individuals we have our gatherings over at our home, it's amazing to me the adults that sit down and devour the book. It's not just for kids. I mean, it really is for everyone.
Well, I hope so. In some ways, I've sometimes thought, because my dad had me when he was 47 and his father had him when he was about 75, obviously with a much younger wife, that my father, for example, my grandfather was born in about 1850, so he knew things like Wild Bill Hickok's show came to England and he saw that, and I sometimes thought that we have an access to a breadth of history that probably most people don't. So I've grown up with stories that some others haven't, that used to be, famously known by every schoolchild in the nation and across the world, but just aren't anymore. So, it's kind of a golden thread that I've been very pleased to go over, because some of these are such classic names that it's worth knowing them.
This is Well, I think so too. I think this is the book that parents have been looking for in particular when they want to tell stories to their children at night before bedtime. I mean, we've kind of lost that sense of the need to be able to story tell to our kids.
Yes, and the whole point of that is not just, I mean, there's two strands. First, you know, firstly, you can have a good, exciting adventure story, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it is how we pass on a sort of a culture, you know, how we say these are the things that made us who we are. These are the values that make us who we are and that we value. I think these things are more important than, at the same time, if you did it without the exciting adventure story, then no one would read them. So I do like a bit of that as well. Don't mind that.
Yeah, I find it fascinating too, the adventure story of the first computer.
That was one of the most incredibly detailed chapters. Yes, that was another one by my brother. And I found it fascinating. I must admit, first of all, I was quite worried about it, because it had incredible detail of how the computers were developed and all the different names and the different stages. But honestly, he did an awful lot of research and went to various places like Bletchley Park and so on. And it became a fascinating thing. This is one of the benefits, of course, of working with somebody else, mm-hmm. that he might choose a subject that I might not necessarily have chosen, but that, I found fascinating by the end. So I'm quite pleased with that one. Yeah, it's a good one.
So what were the stories that really spoke to your heart?
Well, I like the Men of Colditz. I mean, I like the mm-hmm. passages of Flight 93, as I've said. I enjoyed the Men of Colditz because it was I think there are different kinds of courage, and I hope we can all, imagine being brave in a particular moment. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're afraid, you can still do something. But having to keep your spirits up over years when, you're being treated very harshly and the world is falling apart around you, I think that is a particular kind of courage that is very impressive. So that was quite a different strand to some of the others. But I liked, in all of them, when I was doing the Duke of Wellington, finding out he was called the Iron Duke, not because he was ruthless or tough, but because he had iron bars put across his windows when he was trying to pass a bill on Catholic emancipation, and the mob threw stones at his house. Little, things like that mm-hmm. that I love. I love learning all these sort of fascinating little details. Hearing about the Gurkha soldier who was told no matter what happens, he must not let go of his rifle, and he fell into a river with it and had to be fished out from the bottom because he was still hanging on to the rifle mm-hmm. and it was weighing him down, and he would not let go of it. I think, mm-hmm. these are fascinating, and although you can make them up, it's much better when they come from history.
They really do. It's the ones who we may never have heard of, like the women of the SOE. I didn't even know there was an SOE.
Well, it's a special operations executive. Yes, I mean, they were all incredibly brave. They were parachuted into France, and they spent their time passing on information, sitting up in attics sometimes, knowing always that there could be a knock at the door and there'd be a firing squad for them, or possibly much, much worse. That's one of the chapters where I had to consider that it could potentially be a young audience, so I just couldn't put in all the details of the way some of them were tortured by the Gestapo, because it was too horrible. Mm-hmm. I had to sort of self-censor on that one, but that's what they faced. And knowing what they faced, it makes their courage all the more extraordinary.
Yeah, that's what I love so much about it. I mean, of course we need to hear about the Daniel Boones and the George Washingtons, and you do a beautiful job on those as well. But to be able to hear the little-known stories, those things that we've never... Even as a 48-year-old adult, I've never heard of some of these stories. What a gift to pass on to generations.
That's very nice of you. I shall just quietly say thank you for that. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed them.
Well, it is. I'm hoping you're working, you and your brother, at least on another book.
At the moment, we're thinking about it. My brother's quite ill at the moment. In fact, he was diagnosed with cancer of the bladder. Mm. So he's at this particular moment, it's a slightly grim chapter in the Eagledon family history. We're sort of working out what to do over mm-hmm. the next year and what sort of treatment he can have and so on. There's some fairly horrible treatments available. I won't bore you with the details, but it's a difficult moment for all of us in our lives, I think. I'm hoping he sort of goes through with the most unpleasant treatments and gets as many, much time as he can.
Well, he will be in our prayers.
Thank you.
I don't doubt, though, that he is drawing upon the courage of your family and of those stories and witness that you've been gifted throughout your whole life, that your mother and dad planted in your hearts.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. It's very touching.
Well, it is just a tremendous gift. I keep saying the word gift, but that's what it is when something unexpected comes along and enriches your life and brings great joy. And that's what your work has done with the Dangerous Book for Boys, but then also now in the new Dangerous Book of Heroes. It is something that you come across and you think, wow, why hasn't this been done before?
I'm sure it has. I mean, you know, these things, they come and go with collections of stories, but I think it doesn't hurt to revisit some of the good ones.
No, and to be able to set up, I mean, you must be happy with how William Morrow has taken this and put it and made it an attractive work. It's not just a paperback that's found somewhere off the shelf, but they've really lifted this up as a work to be taken seriously.
That they have, and it's been beautiful, that actually, even to the inside cover and the outside cover, they've made an absolutely classic job of this. This does matter, because I'm a big bibliophile. I mean, I love books. I always have done. So it's nice to look at something solid. And I must admit, I look back on it, and it represents, you know, the best part of a year of my life working with my brother. As I say, I don't know whether he'll be around forever, so I'm particularly pleased, really, that I have this with him.
Mm. It is. It's a wonderful legacy. This is the kind of book, too, when it's purchased either for the home or for someone's collection, it will bear up the test of time. You'll pull it out a couple of years later or maybe a decade or two later and continue to enjoy these beautiful stories.
I hope so.
And any final thoughts?
No, I think, my goodness, I think we've covered just about everything and a few things I wasn't expecting to talk about. So, yes, I think, thank you very much. You've been very kind.
Well, it's been wonderful to be able to bring the Dangerous Book of Heroes to people's attention, Connor Golden. And I wish you and I pray for your family, and I know our listeners share that sentiment as well. And we just hope that you'll continue to, you know, delve into that desire as a father to teach and pass on the stories to his children, that you'll continue to include us along in your journey as well.
I will do my best. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, and we will. We'll pray in a very special way for your brother and for your entire family to persevere through
nice.
This.
I know this makes a difference. I have a relative who's a nun who's often had convents praying for me at various times in my life, and I know it makes a difference.
Okay.
So thank you.
Well, you've given a lot, and now it's time to receive some back.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We've been going inside the pages of Con Eaglon's book, The Dangerous Book of Heroes. This book can be found at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion, along with many others, please visit www.insidethepages.com. I'm Kristen Greger. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.